If you would, please go with me to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you so very much for your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your love. For when we see where it says, for God so loved the world, we thank you for that, Lord, that you gave your only begotten Son. Lord, I just pray that as we examine these texts today, as we go through what thus saith the Lord, that minds will be changed, hearts will be challenged, and souls will be saved unto the glory of God. These things we thank you for and we praise you for. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We're coming up on our Christmas holiday here, y'all, and coming up on the 25th of December, where everybody's going to be talking about, you know, getting their Christmas gifts and everything is, we're going to have a Christmas message on December 22nd, but I just want you to know for the next three Sundays leading up to that Christmas message, that day, the birth of that child, we're going to be talking about some of the prophecies that led up to it. We're going to be talking about some of the typology in the Old Testament of where you could see Jesus Christ. When I say typology, that means where you could see a shadow of what the coming Savior was going to be. And that's important because I don't want anybody to think that this whole idea of a baby in a manger just fell out of the sky. And everybody ought to believe it. That would be nonsense. That'd be utter nonsense. So the Bible tells us that when we talk to people as Christians, we are supposed to be able to give a reason and a good reason for why we say we believe what we believe. We don't believe things by blind faith. We believe things by evidence that is set forth that causes us to have faith in the Word of God. And so that's what we're going to talk about for these next, today and for the next 3 weeks. Some of these evidences so that when you get to where you're reading in Luke where it says that the angels appeared to the shepherds and everybody jumps up and runs down and they go, wow, here he is. Well, there's a lot of background to that for somebody to get that message and then go there and then see this man's life and walk away with the understanding that he is who he says he is. Amen? So, would you please open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is part of what we call the Pentateuch, which are the first five books of the Bible, which are penned almost entirely, not completely, but almost entirely by Moses, the prophet, the man Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 22. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 22. And it reads, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God at Oreb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet that hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and doers and hearers of his word. Amen. Our key verse, we have two verses that really just, they're repetition of each other, verse 15 and verse 18. But concentrate on verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. That's important because when we get to the Christmas message, understand, the Jewish world is already looking for somebody to be raised up, somebody like Moses. Moses was the greatest man in their history of the Old Testament. And God made a promise to them that there's going to come a time in the future, prophecy, there's going to come a time in the future where I'm going to raise up a prophet just like you, Moses. He's going to be, you are very, very similar to him, but there's going to be a lot more to him than you. But he's very, very similar to you, and he's going to be of your brethren. So I'm going to bring you this new prophet, this Messiah, and he's going to be a Jewish man, because that's what the scripture says. So that's why we set that stage, because when we get to the book of Luke, we talk about the shepherds and the angels and the singing and the songs and the baby in the manger. Understand, there has to be a background for it. Has to be a background for it. So, today we're going to talk about Jesus Christ, that prophet of promise. Jesus Christ, that prophet of promise. And we got three segments that we're pretty much going to work this out into, and I want you to kind of bring your mind to it. It's called the good, the bad, and the supernatural. The good, the bad, and the supernatural. And we'll kind of bounce around in our scriptures because there's a lot of, I want to lay some foundational things today because a lot of you have been told that your faith is groundless. It's baseless. It's just a wish, a hope. But I want you to leave here today feeling a little bit more confident, no, prayerfully a lot more confident in the one in whom you say you believe in. The one whom you said that you believe that he came, he died, he rose from the dead paying for your sins. And I want you to be able to see that more clearly as we lead up to that babe in the manger. Amen. If you would, please, turn your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And this is why we're going, this is, again, setting the foundation for the next 3 weeks. Here we see, starting in verse 19, it says, we have, this is the Apostle Peter writing, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Peter's saying, okay, it's wonderful to see the miracles, it's wonderful to see Jesus do this and hear Jesus' words. He says, but we have something that nobody else has. No religion, no orthodoxy of any kind. Nobody has a God who knows the end from the beginning but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he spends 66 books explaining that to us so that we can have confidence in what is written. Because as the rabbi, the Reformed rabbi told me, well, I wasn't there. So therefore, he said he couldn't believe the Bible because he wasn't there. But if he would take the time to read the entirety of the text and read, God said, I know you weren't there. That's why I gave you the book. So, and it reads, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, repeat, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. That's important because different denominations and isms and schisms, they take these words, and I was talking to Brother Chad, we were talking on the radio the other day, yesterday, and when he was over in outside of the country, some of the people over there challenged him and said, well, who's this white Jesus that you serve? And I'm sitting, so where do you get that from in the scriptures? Jesus is a Jew. He's a Middle Eastern Jew. But when you allow individual people to pick, hunt and peck and pick and whatever they want to do out of the scriptures, you can come away with all kinds of crazy stuff. But if you will, what's the word say? Rightly divide the word of truth, you'll come away with the truth. And if there's a way to rightly divide the word of truth, then by definition, there's a way to wrongly divide the way of truth. Okay. He says, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So here we go back to Deuteronomy, where Moses is writing the book of Deuteronomy, but he's writing the book of Deuteronomy as he is moved by the Holy Spirit. Moses is writing things, some of which he understands, some things of which he has no clue, some things of which he will never see the fulfillment of, but yet and still he's writing it down because it's not coming from him, it's coming from God. And again, and so that's why when we get to this text, you'll see, and if it's coming from God, the Bible says it has to be 100% accurate. It cannot be close. It's not like bowling where you kind of get a spare. You try to get a spare and just kind of miss it. No, it's got to be a strike every time. Every time. And God said, and if it's not, then it's not from him. You know, today we have people who come on television and on online, and they're going to read your future for you, and it's, they're going to give you a bunch of hoodoo and this and that and the other. And you know what? You know what? Sometimes they get it right. You know what? Sometimes you'll call that number and they'll say, you know what? I see a cloudy day coming for you. I see you having financial problems. Oh, I see you meeting someone. Oh, and we walk away going, did you hear that? Man, what a prophecy. And then you got to pay up your money. God says here, freely it was given to me, freely I give it to you. And this is the truth. So let's go here in this book of Deuteronomy and let's see. Let's talk about the good, the bad, and in this word of prophecy so we can get this foundation for the next 3 weeks. Because I want you to understand, you have to start with the Bible and stay with the Bible. Don't allow yourself to be taken away by your feelings. Make sure the feeling, it's good to have good feelings. It's wonderful to have wonderful feelings. But make sure that the feeling is based on the fact of Scripture. Amen? Okay. Let's go to, let's talk about the bad. I know we said the good, the bad, and the supernatural, but let's talk about the bad first. Let's, and when we talk about the bad, verses 9 through 14. Verses 9 through 14, and I want you to see this. We're going to be talking, we're trying to get to the point to where we all understand that Jesus Christ is the prophet of promise. Jesus Christ is the prophet of promise. But we're going to start off by giving you some foundational things that God had to give to the Jewish people so that these are all things that are applicable in many, many ways to our lives and our thought process because people are people. Okay, verse 9. Verses 9 through 14. Let's talk about the bad. Israel, God was taking Israel. Israel had been in captivity for 400 years, and God was taking them out of captivity, and he was moving them into the land of Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey, the promised land. And you know, if there's one doctrine that so many people have a great deal of problem with, it's how in the world does God take these Jewish people and move them into a land where there's already other people at? How dare he? This, you know, that's, you know, and they'll cast away, they'll cast off Christianity based on that. That's just not right. That's just not fair. And what they don't take into account is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he can do what he wants to do. And if you continue to study the scriptures, we even talk about, when we talk about slavery and the issue of slavery, understand, God sent his own people into slavery three times. These were the chosen people. So when you talk to me about, please forgive me if I don't get all riled up when you talk about slavery, okay? It's the way of the world. It's the way of the world. People buy and sell each other. That's what they've done, and that's what they still do. But God shows you a way out, and he shows you how to deal with that. Okay, here we go with the bad. When thou art coming to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. The bad. If you'll take note, the land, God drove those people out of the land. Now, if you read the scriptures, the Bible tells you, we say, well, why does God think so highly of the Jews? God even told the Jews, I'm not giving you the land because you're good. I'm giving you the land because they're bad. America, take note. America, take note. We are blessed. We are blessed. Understand, this was the land of Canaan, the land that flowed like milk and honey. This was the land of this. Land of the home of the brave, land of the free, home of the brave. This is it. But God, they had wickedness in their actions. And God said to the Jews, he goes, I have driven them. In fact, he says, the land has spewed them out. And I'm moving you in here to give you the opportunity to do better. We're in the greatest nation on the planet, y'all. We got to do better. We have opportunities that other people just dream about. You know that? You know how I know that? Because they come here to live. We're the dreamland, and I'm okay with that. But while we're here, we need to give folks who come the gospel, and we need to live out the gospel ourselves. So here he says, here are some of the things that God had a real problem with. In fact, he labeled them as abominations. I'm talking about the bad things that really get to God. That any nation. Including America. Y'all don't, any nation that participates in these things, God says, it's for this reason that I put these folks out of their country and moved in another nation. Let's see what this says here. There shall not be found, verse 10, there shall not be found among anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. There shall not be anyone who causes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Listen to me. Work with me. Back in this time, because the land of Canaan, that part of their worship was sexual immorality. In fact, whenever you find any false religion, the first thing that the head of the religion does is get himself seven wives. Amen. He said, God told me to do that. Amen. And y'all said, but that's in the Old Testament. God never sanctioned that. God never sanctioned that. Men did that because that's what they wanted to do. And then we try to make it holy. But he says, these folks passed their children through the fire. Point is that all this sexual immorality between people who are not married, people who don't want to be married, people who just go into the temple to be, they had temple for false gods, you end up with a lot of unwanted babies. A lot of unwanted babies. So now you've sinned against God, and now you're trying to find a way to get blessed. So here's what they would do. We sinned against God. We had this baby. Let's sacrifice the baby to God. What? Preacher, are you kidding me? All through the Old Testament, you'll see that word where it says, they passed their children through the fire. There's a reason they passed their children to the fire, because they didn't want them. And not only were they not wanted, this was a way to get blessed according to their gods, their false gods. Well, why are you telling us this, Pastor? Because nowadays we don't pass our children through the fire. We abort them. We have lives, sexual immorality runs rampant through our country, through our families. And understand this, church. The result is still the same. Just like they destroyed God's babies, we destroy God's babies. And he says, let there not be found among you anybody who does that. Hey, guess what? We've all done some really different kind of stuff. Some of us done had abortions. Some of us done paid for abortions. And some of us have encouraged others to have abortions. But ooh, we got a good God. We got a good God. He goes, when you know better, do better. He said, when you come under conviction that this, that God is saying, this is an abomination. This is, don't you tuck your head and tuck tail and say, well, you know, I wouldn't do it, but, you know, if somebody else wants to, okay. Don't you do that. Because God said, I don't want to see it in the land. Not just in your house. I don't want to see it in the land. Open your mouth and let folks know. There's repercussions, y'all. There's repercussions. Move on. But there's forgiveness available to those who paid for it, those who had it, and those who were the counselor to give them the wisdom to do it. There's forgiveness available, y'all. Oh, we serve a good God. We serve a good God. Because the weight, the guilt of that will destroy you. But we serve a good God. He says, take that, all you who are heavy laden, bring it on over here to me, and I'll give you rest. But understand, abortion is nothing new. It's right here. They just couldn't destroy the baby in the womb back then. They didn't have the technology that we have. But the mindset is exactly the same. It's nothing new. It's nothing new. He goes, verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Divination, that's people who look for omens. You know, they look, oh, the birds are flying south this morning. This is going to be, I'm going to get a job. That's okay. Okay. He says, you don't want to be that kind of person who's looking for omens for something like that. And then he says, an observer of time. If you checked your horoscope today, raise your hand up just a little bit. Let's not say today. How many of y'all over 18 used to get up in the morning, go to the newspaper, back when they had newspapers, and those of us who are Capricorn, I think they call them Capricorns. Those of us who are Capricorns, I think, did any of y'all ever check your horoscope to see what your day was going to be like? Amen. I would read Ann Landers, and then I'd read my horoscope. I go to Ann Landers for worldly wisdom, and then I go to my horoscope for even worse wisdom. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. We say, well, it's just all in fun. No, it's not, because it's leading you away from God. This is bad. And so are you a Leo? I mean, all the songs in the 70s and 80s, Hello, ladies. I'm a Leo. Yes, and you are?
It's nonsense. It's utter, complete nonsense. But we did it. We did it. And he says, don't do that because it takes you down a path that you don't know where it's taking you. But the thing is, it draws you away from the one true and living God. Or being an enchanter or a witch. In verse 11, or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. Think about this. Today for entertainment, a good deal of the movie entertainment today is enchanters, wizards, people dealing with familiar spirits. Most of what you get from Disney, it's right from the pits of hell. Oh, but I thought that was a family thing. You better pay attention to what you're getting. You better pay attention to what your kids are watching. Let's take Harry Potter. That's just one of many. That's even that little Frozen thing. Frozen. I mean, she's talking about just let it go. Disregard your parents. Disregard everybody. Just do what you want to do. Do your own thing. Hey, why don't we buy all of our kids some more of those? That's what they really need. Amen. No. God says, you don't want anybody who deals with charmers or familiar spirits. Familiar spirits are those things that people think when you got the TV shows, when people say, we're talking to your dearly departed. No, you're not. You're talking to a demon. Your dearly departed is departed. You're talking to a demon. And think about this. With the Harry Potter series, if you notice, you always see a gradation of power in the world of wizards. You know, you got this wizard down here, he's a little wizard, and he can only say a few things that do whatever he does, and then you got the big bad wizard over here. Go to the Bible, go to the Bible. Verse 11, are charmers, are consulters with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer? A charmer or a consulter of familiar spirits is one who's got little power. And so therefore, they're always trying to get wisdom from these demons. But then you go from being a consulter with demons to being a wizard. And the literal translation for that is one who's possessed by a familiar spirit. Oh, that sounds like the movie where the guy starts off as a little wizard and he's learning the crafts and he's learning the skills, and then he's growing up and up and up, and as he becomes more and more familiar with it, he's ready to take on the big wizard who's already demon-possessed. And his goal is to go from here to being demon-possessed himself. Church, read your Bible. Read your Bible. It'll give you a strong foundation of what to stay away from. And we can't stay away from all evil, but we pray and we ask the Lord, guard our minds. Guard our children's minds. What's that song we used to sing? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. That still applies as adults, y'all. Be careful. But he tells you here, he goes, there's those who dabble and consult with evil spirits, and then those who are full-blown demon-possessed. God said, because of these things, I took this nation, I took this property from this nation, and I drove them out. And I'm bringing my children in here to give them the opportunity. And I understand, even when God gives us an opportunity, when God sets you free, you have the opportunity to do wrong. You're not supposed to. And if we trust the Lord, if we walk in the light, that's why the Bible is always encouraging you. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Why is the Bible always encouraging me to walk in the light? Because I have the option. I have the option. Freedom is a double-edged sword, y'all. I was talking with a friend the other day about drinking. And he was like, well, can Christians drink? And I'm going to get beat up. If any of my Christian brothers hear this, over my preachers, there's nothing in the Bible that prohibits a Christian from drinking. It's not there. It's not there. But what he tells you is don't be drunk. He says don't. Alcohol is a spirit. And he says don't yield your spirit to that spirit. And so here's what it comes down to about drinking. If you know that you have an issue with dealing with that spirit, whatever your beverage of choice is, no, I take it back. Not if you know, if your wife know. Or if your husband know. Your friends say, you know, you're drinking too much. Then don't you sit there and try to justify it. Why don't you listen to him? And because you're God's child and you're supposed to be representing him properly. So anyhow, all these things, this is the bad. This is, I want you to get this foundation, because when we get to this baby Jesus coming on Christmas Day, I want you to understand, we need him. The Jewish people were looking for him, and we need him. And so therefore, but we got to be able to make sure we have the right person. You hear me? So he goes, God cast these folks out and gave the land to the Jewish people. Now, the good news, that's the bad news. That's part of the bad news. The good news. Verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Matthew 17:5. What does God say in Matthew 17:5? He says, this is my son, hear ye him. So we go from the Old Testament, where we have the promise of this one coming, this prophet who's going to come. And then we see in the New Testament, he says, this is my son, hear ye him. God is laying the groundwork. He's laying the framework for us. And he says, for the Lord thy God will raise up. That's a promise from God. What's a prophet, y'all? A prophet is somebody who speaks to the people for God. A priest is somebody who speaks to God for the people. But the prophet comes, usually when you see a prophet in the Testament, it ain't going to end well. Usually when you see a prophet in the Old Testament, somebody's done something, and God is trying to correct them. And just think of how much God loves you. If God never put anybody in your path to tell you that's wrong, guess what? You might not be none of his child. You hear me? Because God said, those who I love, I chasten. Those who are my children, I correct you. How does God correct us? Sometimes he puts preachers in your path. Sometimes he put teachers in your path. Sometimes he puts a brother or a sister in your path who come to you and they grab you by the shoulders and they shake you and say, man, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you have named the name of Christ. Do you know what, do you understand what you're doing? That's how God works. And this time he puts people into our path. Here he sends these prophets and he sends these prophets to the people. And he says, according to verse 16, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God at Oreb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord thy God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. This is what took place at the Mount of Oreb. At the Mount of Oreb, the Jewish people, sometimes we refer to it as Mount Sinai, the Jewish people had demanded to talk to God. They didn't. Moses was the mediator that God had picked at that time. And the Jewish people, they made a demand. They said, we want to talk to God face to face. We don't want you in between us. We want to meet God on our level, on our terms. And the Bible says that God told them, hey, if that's what they want, Moses, tell them to come on to Mount Sinai and meet me at the mountain. And that sounded good until when God said, first thing he said, one of the first things he said, he says, I want y'all to separate yourselves from intimacy with your husband and wives for 3 days. I want you to wash all your clothes. Y'all want to know why people come to church in clean clothes? Why folks, the tradition of coming dressed up to church starts right there at Mount Sinai. God said, I want you to put on your best. He says, I want you to wash. And everybody's best is not the same, y'all. But some folks, you know, blue jeans, shorts, that's not the issue. But are you giving God your best? And is your stuff clean? Soap is cheap. Is your stuff clean? Because think about this. If you'll take the time to do these things, then that means God's on your mind, and you're probably going to show up with your mind ready to receive what God has got for you to say. And God said, he said, tell him to come on to Mount Orb, and we'll talk. Well, and I'm just kind of give you a little picture here. God told him, don't come too high up the mountain. Because God said, I'm up here, you're down here, don't come too high up the mountain. I use this illustration, I've used it before, but I just think it's so good. God, metaphorically speaking, put yellow tape around the bottom of the mountain. And he said, don't cross that line. And he said, don't cross that line because I'm holy and you're not. And the Bible says that the mountain went to shaking. And the mountain began to, there was thunders, there was lightning. The mountain is shaking. They hear this loud noise off it, and they hear this rumbling. And the closer they get to the mountain, the more it shook. The Bible says that Moses was terrified. Moses, the man of God, the man who spoke to God face to face, he was terrified as they walked up to the mountain. And then God said, and you see here, he goes, let them, whatever they said at Mount Orb, God said, this is good. Let me tell you what they said at Mount Orb. They got close to the tape, and they said, Moses, we didn't rethought this thing. We don't want to talk to you face to face. We don't want to talk to God face to face. Because see, God is holy. He's awesome. He's full of awe and wonder. Who can speak this world into existence but God? Who can say to the oceans, when you look, you go out there on the beach and you go, and you're kicking the sand, and you go, who stopped that water? What stopped that water? Every time a hurricane comes, people, oh, the surge. What stopped the water in the first place? God said, be still. That's as far as you go. And then he says, but y'all come. And they said, we'll pass on that. Here's what we'll do. We'll look for a mediator. And if you turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy 2:5, 1 Timothy 2:5. And it tells you, it says there's one mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Who's that man, Christ Jesus? Jesus is that prophet who was promised. And God is setting the groundwork for us to prepare and receive the words and the teaching of that prophet that was promised. He said, you guys asked me not to speak to you. You guys asked me to give you a mediator between me and you. And God said, that was smart. You spoke very well. And that's why we don't go to Mary. We don't go to priests. We don't go to pastors. Except for to get some encouragement. What you do is you take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. If you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for your sins, you got a mediator. You have a mediator between you and God, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. So why can't Muhammad be my mediator? Because he ain't here. He goes, there's one mediator between God and man. And Jesus, as you start reading the scriptures and learning more about the groundwork, you'll understand, why is he the mediator? Because he's worthy. He's worthy. Nobody else could pay the price but Jesus. We're talking about the good. He says, verse 16, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord, desireth the Lord thy God at Orb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. God said, that's a good thing, y'all. You still want a God. You still want a relationship with me, but you understand you need a mediator. And for anybody out here who has never believed on the name of Jesus Christ, you think you're praying to God. You're just mumbling. If you don't have the mediator, Jesus Christ, it's not a prayer. The Bible says there's only one way to talk with the Father, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, he's available to anybody and everybody. All you have to do, the Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He says, you shall be saved. We're talking about that prophet. We're talking about that prophet that was promised in this particular text, that prophet who's going to show up on Christmas Day. But we're going to see how he got there on Christmas Day. And by the way, he always was, he always is, and he always will be. So it's not that he came into existence on Christmas Day. He took on flesh. We'll move on. Let's talk about the supernatural. We talked about the good, the bad. Now let's talk about the supernatural. Let's talk about how do we know these prophets? How do we know when it's a good prophet? How do we know when it's a bad prophet? How do we, you know, there's so much confusion. There's so much religion out there. You know, how do I know? Well, if you go to start with your Bible and stay with your Bible, God will tell you. He'll tell you right here how you know. He goes, verse 18. He says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all I shall command him. He's going to raise up a prophet similar to Moses. He's going to be a Jew, and he's going to speak the words that God. Jesus, you see in the New Testament, Jesus is repeatedly saying to everyone who listen, I'm not speaking these things of my own. I'm only doing what the Father tells me what to do, because Jesus is here to glorify the Father. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3. Well, if he's going to send me a prophet, one of the first things that come to my mind is, how do I know a good one from a bad one? How do I know which 900 phone number has got the real deal? Okay, I got questions. How do I know which church is preaching the truth? I got questions. That's normal. Start with the Bible, stay with the Bible. First, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Listen closely. Listen closely. If there arise among you a prophet, because we're talking about the promised prophet, we're talking about the prophet that God says he's going to raise up. So how do I know when all these people who come along and say, I'm prophet so-and-so, I'm prophetess so-and-so, how do I know who's real? Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3. If there rise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me if somebody tells me they're prophetess so-and-so, or prophet so-and-so, and they tell me something is going to happen tomorrow, and it really happens? And it happens just the way they said it was going to happen, 100%. Do you mean to tell me I shouldn't listen to that person? I mean, my goodness, look, he told me that next week I was going to get a job, and it was going to pay this much money, and I was going to talk to this person, and it all fell into place. Boom, boom, boom. It all went just like the prophet said. He said, but there's a problem. He said, that prophet told you those things, and they came true, but then that prophet told you to go worship Allah, or that prophet told you to go worship Buddha. I saw Tina Turner on TV the other day. She gives all her glory to Buddha. For all that she's attained, she gives it all to Buddha. Oprah Winfrey. All that they've attained, they take all these things that have come true. People told them, oh, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, you're going to be that, and bam, 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 they are that. But God said, even if all of it comes true, and they tell you to go to some other God other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God said, He's a turn away. And you say, well, God, why would you even bring this person into my path? Why did I even meet this person? He tells you right there in verse 3. God said, I did it to prove you. You know how God did with Abraham? God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. And Abraham packed up everything, put some wood on Isaac and said, come on, we're going to go, going to sacrifice you. And God said, I just did it to prove you. I just did it to prove you. God, y'all got to understand, we get gifts and stuff from the devil. Devil give you money. Money ain't no big deal to him. It ain't an issue. Devil will give you a good, he'll give you a job beyond your wildest dreams. It ain't no big deal to him. But when he gives it to you, when you get that job, does it draw you closer to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or does it make you more indebted to, man, I'm glad I got that degree. I am so sharp. I am so smart. I am so cunning. Where does it point you? Ask yourself, ask yourself and understand, God said, I allowed that into your path just so that I can prove you. And if you walk away, if you pass that test, you know what you're going to be able to do? You're going to be able to say, Lord, you're so good. God, you're so good. Lord, you'll be able to say, King David, he said, when I looked at the people in the world, when I looked at the wicked people who were prospering, David was on the run. He was running from his own son trying to kill him. And he goes, God, I'm your boy. I'm your boy. I've been your boy for a long time, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing this CEO, he's got this kind of golden parachute, and that CEO, he's making, and then this guy over here, I've been here 10 years, he just got hired 2 months ago, and he's making more money than me. What's going on with this, God? What's going on? And David said, if I wasn't careful, he said, I almost slipped. He said, because here's what happens with us as Christians. We take our focus off of God and we put our focus onto this stuff. And we start concentrating on getting more stuff. When the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has already promised you, I will give you everything. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness. He goes, and everything that you need, I'll give it to you. And I'll give it to you because I want you to give me the glory. I want you to tell folks about me. I want you to tell them about this promised prophet. He told them, I'm going to let these things happen to prove you. So now, when we get over here to, and this supernatural aspect, the supernatural aspect of this entire text is thus. How does God tell you with certainty in the book of Deuteronomy that when you get to the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see a babe being born in a manger where I told you, according to the book of Micah, I told you he's going to be in Bethlehem. I told you, according to Isaiah, it was going to be a baby born of a virgin. How do you get from here in Deuteronomy to there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Can't nobody do it but our God. He said, I'm the only one. He said, I'm the only one who knows the end from the beginning. And that's why we put our faith and our trust in him. Because when we have sickness, I don't want to be guessing who I'm praying to. When I have needs, I don't want to be guessing. I don't want to be leaning on a bruised reed. That's what God would say. And guess what? And when I want to give thanks, I want to make sure it's going in the right direction. When I want to give praise, I want to make sure it's going in the right direction. So I need to understand this is a supernatural God who does supernatural things. And I'm one of the most supernatural things he'll do for anybody in here. The Bible says you were all, everybody here was at one point in time, everybody here came out their mama's womb. Everybody here came out their mama's womb. Everybody here had a birthday. Everybody. But what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? That ain't good enough. You must be born again. What? How you gonna do that? Nicodemus, one of the most learned men in his time. He's on the Sanhedrin. He's a brilliant, he's an educated man. And Nicodemus said, wait a minute. How am I going to go back into my mother's? That ain't going to work. He goes, it's supernatural. You must be. Not just want you to be. God says, if you're going to walk this walk, if you're going to talk this talk, you must be born again. It's a supernatural God. He goes, verse 19. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. God said, you can't be a prophet and get 99.9%. God said, if you're a prophet, it has to be 100%. Unbelievers think that God took an arrow and he shot it into the back of a building and he painted a bullseye around it and he said, I hit it. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says there was a bullseye which God said, here, I'm going to do this. And then he shot that arrow and he hit the bullseye. And when Christians are convinced of that, it'll change your life. He says, verse 21, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath spoken? How shall we know if it's the word that the Lord has spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, verse 22, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid. How do you know if this is the one who is promised? Turn your Bibles to John 6:14. John 6:14. And this is for my Jewish listeners. I pray that somebody will share this with a Jewish listener. John 6:14, the Gospel of John 6:14. It talks about where they had been out preaching all day and they found a young man who had five loaves of bread, barley, and two little fish. And the Bible says that Jesus supernaturally, this is, how would they know that this is the prophet that was spoken of in Deuteronomy? Because he took these fish and he supernaturally multiplied all of this fish. In verse 13, therefore they gathered to themselves all filled baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves which remained over the and above and unto those which were not eaten. He gave thanks and he fed thousands. Supernatural God. But look what happens in verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth. That prophet that should come into the world. From Deuteronomy to the Gospel of John, we see, what are we looking for on Christmas morning? Who are we looking for on Christmas morning? We're looking for that prophet. Last thing. Every person, in order to be considered a prophet in the Old Testament, everybody would have to make a near prophecy that could be verified, and then they could give a far-off prophecy that might not be verifiable. Case in point. Look at all the people who believe that the earth is going to burn up from global warming because somebody told them. And y'all got to understand, this is not right now. This started 30, 40 years ago. I used to get up in the morning, and I had my right guard, that was my spray deodorant. And I had my, y'all had, any of y'all had, used to have that spray deodorant? And every time you spray it, you're in a cloud. You're And then they told us, you got to stop using Right Guard because there's a hole in the ozone and you're destroying the planet and the planet will be destroyed. It will be burned up. And what, back then they told us about 30 years, Ed? About 30 years. That's been, what, about 45, 50 years? Okay. But they told us, oh, it's going to happen. So everybody got rid of their Right Guard. It was a smelly mess. I'm sorry. But everybody had to go from using their spray deodorant because somebody who doesn't know God, told them that mankind were going to destroy this earth. Right now, they're telling our children, you got 12 years. Even got little girls coming on TV crying in tears. If y'all don't stop this, if you don't stop this, we're all going to burn up. What does she know? What do they know? What prophecy have they fulfilled? What do they know? You got the Bible. God said it's going to maintain seed time and harvest. He said, until I come and stop it. Don't worry about the earth getting burned up. Worry about you getting burned up. It's all designed to take our focus off the things of God. So I told you, each prophet had to come up with a short-term prophecy. So I want to give you one of the greatest short-term prophecies that was ever uttered by a prophet in the Bible. And not only was it uttered by a prophet, it was uttered by this prophet of promise, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, if you destroy this temple, and he was speaking of himself. He said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Now, the Bible told you very clearly, if a prophet tells you something like that and it doesn't come to pass, he has spoken presumptuously. But if that prophet will stand there and tell you that if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will, not I might, not I maybe, I will raise it up. And if you count down those days, 1, 2, 3, and if on that third day he's standing there telling somebody, tell my disciples, meet me in Galilee, because I'm gone, I'm up, I've risen, I'm here. I'm that prophet. I'm the one that Moses talked about back in Deuteronomy. I'm that prophet of promise. And not only was I a prophet of promise for the Jewish nation, but remember in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world, not just the Jewish nation, but everybody, every man, woman, boy, and girl. He said, I love you all. He goes, and I got up with all power and glory. And that is a prophet that you can depend on. I thank y'all for your time. God bless you.